Thanks, guys. Good to be here. How's everybody doing? Good? Yeah? I don't know, but I got really touched when you called them youngsters up here, man. I don't know where they went to, but there they are, right there. Oh, my goodness. That really touched my heart. You know, you can say what you want about a young generation, but there's a lot of them going after God. And you can always look at what's wrong. You can always look at the trouble. But let's just continue to sow seeds and believe good things. I mean, that really blessed me, that this group of young people are just going out there like they are, that moved by Jesus. Like, you could be doing 100 other things at their age, I guess. And here's what I saw. There was some thoughts about the challenges and the things they've been through, and of course everything went all smooth and they were giggling and laughing because obviously they're stories. But you could tell that none of those stories had anything to do with taking away the zeal, joy, and excitement. And you can tell they're just going to continue to live this way.
Yeah.
See, like, if you go on a family trip and all it is a getaway and you're just consumed with just getting away and you run into a challenge, it'll wreck your whole trip. But if your heart is to live Jesus and you're going on a family trip, but you're never just going on a family trip because you live Jesus, the challenge is different.
That's right.
I'm just telling you. There's something about just doing things for yourself that's very limiting. But when you seek first the kingdom. So I saw your zeal. I saw your sincerity, your joy when you were lined up here. I leaned over to Chris. I was like, man, it just blessed my heart to no end. So I know you'll keep on living this way because there's something about Jesus said, the Father's always with me because I always do what he asks. There's a fulfillment in Christ when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's just something about it. So the pastor's confession, not starting off, not going to be mean when I say this, I'm just being real. He said, 30 years I pastored a church, I've never ministered outside of my church. That sounds like, whoa, but I get that. That doesn't really surprise me. But here's the thing, like, you only minister in your church what you really live and understand. Like, if you're not thinking on loving people outside of your congregation or outside of the church service, you'll never minister that. You'll never preach that. You'll just preach theological stuff. You'll preach blessings and protection, and you end up just ministering to one another for the rest of your lives. Because you can't give what you don't have. Like, if you don't have the conviction to pray for somebody when you see them in public, why would you ever preach that? Are you guys with me? So listen, this gospel's simple. Like, we're called to walk in the light as he's in the light. We're called to love, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, just as Jesus loved. It's a go and as you go gospel, Matthew 10, Luke 10, as you go. You say, well, he's talking to the apostles. No, he's talking to 70 more in Luke 10. Yeah? And in Mark, he says, those that believe, these signs will follow them. He's talking about the people that come through their message. So this has always been a go ye therefore gospel and an as you go gospel. In fact, in Matthew 10 and Luke 10, he says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. So in Matthew 10, he says, go and preach and tell them the kingdom's here, and then heal the sick. Cast out devils and he even tells you to raise the dead. A lot of us are still fearing death. It's a strange thing that Christians fear death when they're never going to die. I'm not sure about that. Why are you fearing something that has no power over your life anymore? You're never going to die. Boy, I wish we'd get that. Like, we all say, you know, oh, we got eternal life. Well, I wish we'd just believe that.
Yeah.
That we're never going to die. Why are we so afraid of death? You have no authority over what you fear.
Yeah.
So I just want to share with you a little bit tonight and make it scriptural. It's amazing. There's some things. I'm not being mean about this. I'm really not. Like leaders and pastors, we're here to train and equip for the work of the ministry. Sometimes we think that means whatever it entails to keep the church running. No, whatever entails to keep Christ flowing.
Right.
Keep the light flowing. Keep the love on. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my goodness. So Matthew 10, as you go, preach saying the kingdom's here. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, and raise the dead and cast out devils. And in Luke 10, you know what he says? He says, whatever city you're in, when he talks to the 70, now he's got 70. He's got a bigger group. He says, hey, whatever city you're in, heal the sick there. This is Jesus talking, guys. Who's Jesus? The outright expression of the Father. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. He only does the will of him who sent him. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. When he's talking, it's the Father. Y'all get that, right? So he says to 70, hey, whatever city you're in, what city?
Whatever city.
Heal the sick there. What sick? The. Guys, we at least got to get on page and start stepping out in this direction, right? So we at least got to realize, hey, wherever we are, we're in a city.
Yeah.
And any sick around are the. Come on, this is so simple. He says, heal the sick there. And then what are you going to do? And then you're going to tell them. So in Matthew, you're going to tell them. And then you're going to step in what you're telling them. In Luke, you're going to pray for the sick, heal the sick, and then tell them. So in Matthew, he said, do it this way. But in Luke, he said, do it this way. So I guess it doesn't matter. It's whatever in the moment, whatever in your heart, whatever's in your leading. But you're either going to tell them and show them or show them and tell them.
Right.
I've heard preachers say it's a show and tell gospel. Unless it's Luke 10, it's a tell and show, or a show and it's a show and tell gospel. Unless it's Matthew, it's a tell and show. But either way, Mark 16, there's no way around this, guys. He says, these signs shall follow those that believe.
Yeah.
And of course, he talks about praying in tongues. And some of the stuff he mentions is the stuff that we fight ourselves on the most. They're all supposed to be the sign of a believer. We're going to pray in new tongues. It says you're going to take up serpents. They're going to hurt. You're going to drink or eat any drink any deadly thing. It's not going to hurt you. I'm thinking, why are we so afraid of everything? We got this covenant.
Come on.
In Christ Jesus. He says, I give you authority. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. I give you authority, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Boy, I wish we would just be believers. It'd be good if we were believers. Come on. At large, the church fell apart during COVID. Some of us got hurt by COVID. Some of our families got hurt. But I think fear empowers some of this stuff, and we won't talk about it and admit it. Because then we get condemned. And then we say, what are you saying? It was my fault. And it's like we're so personal and so touchy. Sometimes you can hardly just say it plain. We should be able to talk really plain because we're surrendered. We're alive for Christ. We're alive for his name's sake. Watch, we love not our own life unto death. We've denied ourselves. We're picking up our cross and we're following him. If that was true, we wouldn't have so many unprofitable attitudes and mentalities. All right, look, I'm happy. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm having the time of my life. I'm blessed just because I saw them guys come up here. I'm like, that was good for me. I wouldn't even have had to preach. I was like, yeah, just whatever they said. If Jesus said, whatever city you're in, heal the sick there. If Mark 16 said the sign that follows the believer is they're going to lay hands on the sick and the sick are going to what? Recover. So the sick shall recover. Now, what did we do? We changed all that because we prayed for the sick and we haven't seen them recover. In our lives. I've seen a lot of sick recover, but I've seen sick not recover. My own mama died. She was sick. She died. But she didn't die. Hasn't changed the gospel, guys. My mom passing doesn't change the word. You can talk to me freely. I just need to grow up into him in all things. Come on. If Jesus touched my mama, she gets up. He lives in me. The body of Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm not going to change what I believe because of my experience. I got to believe what I believe because of him and his life and his word. Yes. Look, heaven and earth's passing away. His word's going to remain. Come on, don't get mad at this. We get sentimental. We protect the things we care about. Our losses bother us so bad. And then all of a sudden we say, well, he couldn't have really meant because, and you're telling me 20 of us were praying. Somebody had to have a mustard seed, brother. That's what people say. So it just couldn't have been God's will, and God doesn't always want to heal, etc. And if you start believing that stuff, you are totally shipwrecked in your faith. You are totally shipwrecked in stepping out and moving in authority. You have to believe the will of God in a situation. How are you going to believe if you don't believe it's the will of God? The best you can do is hope. Yeah? Christians write books nowadays, 30 Reasons Why Men Aren't Healed. The last one I saw was 33. Somebody added three. It's painful. If you believe one of those 33, you shipwreck faith for the rest of your life. If you just believe that it's possible for God to say, you know, I don't want to heal him right now because I'm doing this sovereignly to work grace in his life to teach him a little bit of a lesson. If you just embrace that for one person, how do you know that's not the case for the next person? And that'll be in your heart and that'll be in your mind. If it's a timing thing, well, it's just not God's time. Well, you know, it's just not for me. I think God's raising somebody else up to cross their path. And if you just, I can't even imagine all the 33 reasons. I don't even want to read them. Here's what I know. Jesus didn't have that in his back pocket, that manual. The only reason we wrote it is to explain our experience because he's crystal clear. Because when you read that book, it clashes with his life. You show me one time in the Word of God where Jesus said, you know, I'd love to heal you, but today's not your day because God's trying to sovereignly teach you a lesson and he's using this as a form of grace in your life. Did you ever see Jesus say it? Who did Jesus ever say, I'll tell you what, here's a little booklet on faith. Read it for about a week and hook up with me when I'm over in Capernaum. Build up your faith. If you could get more faith, I'll hook up with you over in Capernaum. We'll pray and we'll see what happens. Did you ever see Jesus do anything like that? It's amazing that we talk like that freely, with confidence. If I can't even find it in Jesus' life, I don't want it in mine. If my mama dies, I just need to grow more, see more. I'm not condemned by that. I'm privileged to grow up into him in all things. I'm not pressured. I'm not condemned. See, only a self-focused person is pressured and condemned. And then in some weird way, then it's still all about us. And now we're in denial to avoid certain feelings. And now we're saying this so we don't have to feel this. Boy, I wish we could just grow up into him in all things. Yeah? Yeah. Come on, I can talk about this. My brother just fell over dead in October. You can't tell that when you look at me. The way I see the gospel hasn't changed. They got his heart beating in an ambulance on the way. He was out for 40 minutes. Somehow they got his heart beating. I'm thinking, this is our grace period. I got permission to get in there with him because his wife was in there and it was the COVID thing and you couldn't, more than one person couldn't be in there. And the lady made it possible for me to be in there with my sister-in-law because she was overwhelmed. And there's my brother for 3 days. 3 days, sucking on that tube on 1,000 instruments. And they medicated him and cooled his body way down. And then they slowly brought him out and they called it for his brain to refire. So in my mind, I got 3 days. Shakararavaka. Yeah. I got 3 days. But when that brain refired, there wasn't nothing there. We had to make a decision. And none of them were good. He had nothing. He was not there. He wasn't home. So you unplug him, hoping he don't die. You're saying you're believing he don't die, but truth is you're hoping he don't die most of the time. And he passed very quick. Am I condemned by that? Challenged by that. I won't change what I believe. I am not going to let my life circumstance change. I'm not going to, listen, I'm not being mean. Some of us have trouble maintaining a healthy, steadfast attitude, and we're wondering why we can't raise the dead. Some of us have a struggle just staying validly encouraged. I'm not talking to you, I'm saying some of us. And we wonder why we're not moving in the spirit more. Some of us are letting things matter that don't matter at all, bother us, that have nothing to do with nothing. Some of us are insecure. Our identities aren't healthy. We don't see our value. We're still struggling just to feel good sometimes. I'm just being relatable. A child crying excessively can make you lose patience. You get on an airplane and pay for your seat, and they sit the child behind you, and you feel like you've been judged. And then we wonder why we're not seeing the Spirit of God move. The gospel calls you to deny yourself. Look, I don't know any other way to preach it. It happened to me 27 years ago. I'm excited to live it. I've been privileged to see a whole lot of things, but I haven't seen enough. Just in the last 2 weeks, I've seen several hundred people healed in the last 2 weeks. But I haven't seen enough. I've seen some things not change. I don't know about you. It bothers me. I'm trying to learn to let it bother me in a healthy way. Are you with me? To where I just dig deeper, grow more, but don't change what I believe. If Jesus said, these signs shall follow those that believe, they're going to lay their hands on the sick. Let me play with you a little bit. So the sign of a believer is they're going to lay their hands on the sick. So if you're not laying hands on the sick, I'm not saying you're not saved and don't see your need for a Savior and don't believe that cross. What I'm saying is you don't believe about healing and God healing through you. There's a lot of people that believe God heals. They just never thought about Him healing through them. But a believer... what's a believer do without needing taught? He lays hands on the sick because he believes God wants to heal through him. But you could be trained up to never believe that. You could never be taught that in your whole life. You could be that pastor that's just teaching your church for 30 years. It's never even dawned on you to lay hands on the sick. Or you might do a James 5 in a service at an altar in your service, but never in Walmart parking lot, never even dawned on you. You see what I'm saying? So I've learned that we don't all believe this, but it's all true for all of us. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 real quick with me. I just want to encourage you in a couple of things. I found the number one reason that Christians don't pray for the sick in their personal life most of the time is they're afraid nothing will happen when they step out. They're afraid. People will pray from their bedroom, their home. Sometimes we just won't make contact. We're afraid nothing will happen. If you have theological hangups and you're not sure it's the will of God to heal, well, then you would never really have faith to step out because you're always wondering. If you always believe it's possible, you know what I say to people when I ask to pray for them on the streets? I'll say it a lot, especially if they act a little hesitant. We all seen them act a little hesitant sometimes. I say, listen, just think with me, man. Would I ask you to do what I'm doing if I already knew nothing would happen? If I knew nothing would happen, would I be asking? Friend, please understand God's real and He wants to move and I believe it. How about if we just pray? And usually they're like, Sometimes you just, that's all you need is, What do you do if you pray for them and nothing happens, nothing changes, and they don't want you to pray anymore? You thank them for letting you into their world, into their privacy, into their sphere of life, and how humbling that is because you believe and you never turn off. And you say, listen, and you share a scripture like Mark 16. I just prayed with you, and it says, if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Guys, it's not a cop-out and a plan B when you're sincere. It's a cop-out and plan B when you don't believe it. But when you believe it, it's the kingdom of God. I've prayed for people, they didn't experience anything. For a day, too. I've had testimonies come back to me 3 days later. I don't know why. 3 days later, they woke up and the stone seemed rolled away. I'm not trying to figure any of that out. I'm just doing what the Bible says, praying for people, being sincere, believing God because he loves them. That's all I know. He loves them. If he didn't love them, he wouldn't have sent his son. It's just simple. We're just going to pray for people. Look, you got nothing to lose except stepping out. Build an understanding that God wants to move through you. And when you do it, and you see God move, or you see somebody touch his fire, you can't even express what it does on the inside of you. It's elating. It's exciting. It's really fun when people get touched by God. It's not where your identity rests, but it sure is where your joy is found. There's a joy in it. The first time I ever prayed for a lady in a post office, I was barely saved. I prayed for a lady. I come out, I think I was jumping in there, kicking my heels. I was like, ah! I was this lady over here times like three. I got to my car. I said, Lord, am I too excited about this? Am I? Because I had a pastor in my life tell me that, you know, you can find your identity through a lot of things and make sure it's only through Christ. And he told me about ministry. And there's a trick there where people find their identity through ministry, their training, their ordination. And I said, am I finding my identity through you moving through me like that and through her getting healed? I felt like I heard the Lord chuckle in my heart and say, no, Dan, you feel the way you do right now because you're living the exact reason you're on the planet. Like, this is why you're here. And that's why you feel the way you do. That's why these guys look the way they did, even though they were in 120 degrees without air conditioner. And she goes, but here's how she did it. She was like, oh. She was like, and I'm like, somehow, looking back on it, all these things are just laughing matters. And they really didn't matter enough to say, boy, I don't know if I ever want to do that again. Ain't that something? Because it's all for the kingdom and it's for the sake of others. See, there's something powerful about not loving your own life. Not loving your own life unto death. Not loving your own life unto death. Please understand, the scripture says that's how we overcome. You're not loving your own life. Well, I thought it was the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And they love not their own lives unto death. See, we want to claim the first two without becoming the last one. Come on, you can't have two without three. There's three. Blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony, and love not our own life unto death. So the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony empowers us to live selfless, empowered by the Spirit to live in Christ. And he's the hope of glory. He's the hope of the manifestation of God. So please understand, a believer lays hands on the sick. If I don't know if you know any folks here as old as me or older that know who Norval Hayes, anybody know that name? Okay, so he writes a little booklet, a little mini booklet on believing God. So I open it up. It's like a Jane and Sally or whatever book, or Dick and whoever. Whenever you learn to read and they have those little characters, I don't know who they are, but it's like C-Spot Run. but I open the book and it's just this little, he said, are you a believer? In big bold print on the first page, are you a believer? ? Turn the page, he goes, That's all it said. Do you pray for the sick? Do you lay hands on the sick? And then it quotes scripture, Mark 16. I guess you're not a believer. So it's like, I mean, I'm like going out to lay hands on the sick. I'm reading four pages. I'm like, no, it was just powerful because it's just too easy to say you're a Christian. Just too easy to attend church and not be her. It's just too easy to say you're a Christian. Christian means Christ-likeness, little Christ-like one. In Antioch, they first got the name Christian, little Christ-like ones. It was like, they're like that guy that was crucified. They're like him. Like they're a bunch of little him. Christians. That's where they first got their name, because of the way they were living. Isn't that beautiful? Look, this is a privilege, God. Guys, if God wants to live in us and love through us, I'm not caught up in statistics. I'm like, well, wonder if people ain't healed. Wonder if I just don't go out there and pray for somebody. Wonder if I'd never release faith. Wonder if love never fails, why would I fail to love?
Come on.
Yeah. Come on, this is simple. And see, it has everything to do with faith, and a lot of times we don't realize that's what it is. So that's why I keep saying, I'm not being mean here tonight on opening night for my first night here. I mean, you'd be like, man, is he preaching tomorrow? Yeah, I'm going to preach tomorrow. I just won't tell you when, so he trick you. No. No, because then if Chris preaches, he'll get you too. So, but see, it's like believing is a big deal. Did you ever realize the life you live is evidence of what you really believe? You might know scripture through and through, but the life you live is the evidence of what you really believe. Come on. And you quote scripture and you know things, but the life you live is what you really believe. Do you believe in offense, or do you believe in offense-free living? Do you been selfless, or do you believe self? Your life reveals what you believe. Do you believe God's a healer? If you did, you're praying for the sick. Not because everybody you ever prayed for is healed, because you believe he's a healer. Right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Come on. So I'm glad you're here. I'm not trying to run you off. I'm trying to inspire you. I'm glad you're here. I think this is amazing. I think if we all start living this way, I think these young guys are quite an example for us folks that have been in church a while. You know, you see Paul says, as you've been taught, as you've received Christ, Colossians 2:6, as you've received Christ, so walk in him. Right? Build up and established in the faith as you've been taught. And I'm like, Paul's assuming we're taught that. Because he taught that to the people he's writing to. So now when you're not that he's assuming we're taught that today, but when he writes that, we should be assuming we were taught that. But you could go to church your whole life and not be taught Christian purpose. You could just be taught you're a Christian to go to heaven when you die, for God to protect you, bless you, provide for you, and make sure your life is better than if you weren't a Christian. And that's why people become a Christian, for their sake. Those Christians are never full of joy. A Christian that's a Christian for their sake are always in a quandary. They're always wondering. They're always wondering where God is, what I need to pray next. I need another faith book because my prayers aren't working because the provision isn't here. And it's all about themselves making it instead of themselves manifesting him. Look, if you're a Christian for you, if you got tricked into that gospel, that's not the gospel. I'm just being bold with a little recorder running. You're never, ever a Christian for you. You're a Christian for his great name. You're a Christian for his glory. You're a Christian to take on who he is in you by his spirit so you can walk in the light as he's in the light.
Amen.
Like, there's no other reason for being a Christian. You're not a Christian so that when you die, you don't go to hell. I'm sorry, we preach that over and over and over. That's not why we're a Christian. A Christian is a little Christ-like one. This isn't a change of destiny for when I die. This is a change of the course of my life. It's the direction of my life. It's the purpose of my life. Come on, we got to watch out for this self-centered thing. That's why Christians are discouraged. Because honestly, their circumstances matter more than why Christ is in them.
Come on.
It's a camping trip. You go on a camping trip and it's just trying to get a getaway with you and your family, and that's all you care about. Everything that's a bother is a bother. But when you're living in Christ, he makes the most out of everything, and he works all things together for the good. And you have faith wrapped around everything. And you're actually thinking, man, we're not even going to get there for a day late. There has to be something in this, and you make the most of the moment. You get hung up in an airport. You don't get mad because you didn't get home. You just love on 20 people. Why? Your life's not your own. You've been bought with a price. And your life is not your own. This gospel we've preached in this country that makes a self-serving gospel, and I'm just here to get benefits from the Lord, is not the gospel. Because it produces Christians that are hurt, self-centered, discouraged, depressed, ready to give up. Come on, it's totally unscriptural to be discouraged. I can show you it's never the gospel. But we think it's normal. And when a preacher preaches, you can live and never be discouraged. We think it's high-minded and unreachable. And brother, you need to keep it real and relate. Relate to who? Your life lived or Christ in you?
Come on.
Relate to who? Your experience or his calling and grace? Who am I relating to? Come on. Let's stop thinking our lives are normal. Total perversion. We were trained by a lie our whole lives. We were brought up in the wisdom of men. We were self-centered from the get-go, guys. We were born into Adam. You must be born again.
Yeah?
And somehow we turned that into a change of destination instead of a transformation of life and purpose. So they give me a mic and I make sure I talk about it. Because Paul said, as you've been taught. But you go to church your whole life and never be taught this. He says, you're holy in Colossians 1. Watch this. You're reconciled through the death of Jesus Christ. You were alienated by the wicked way your mind worked. In other words, your mind and my mind was so contrary to him that it made us an enemy to God. We were living outside of him because our minds worked in contrary manner. Yet now, didn't even say we changed our mind, but yet now he reconciled us through his death. Watch, to present us holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in this hope in which you heard and are not moved away from it. Are you reading it, my friend? Did I quote it correctly?
Probably the different.
I have New King James. Yeah. But I said the same thing. Watch this. And aren't moved away from the hope in which you heard. You can go to church your whole life in America. Never even come close to hearing. You're holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. In fact, the people that are preaching that are called heretics by many, quote, Christians. But yet my Bible teaches it. I'm going to stick with the word of God. I'm not going to stick with our experiences. I'm not going to stick with our analytical reasoning. Yeah, but brother, we can't be holy and blameless. Everybody has blame. Everybody has sin. You probably have sin in you right now. You just don't know it because your level of sensitivity is nowhere near the holiness of God. So you probably have things right now. Even while you're breathing, you're probably sinning. You just don't realize it. Okay. So what is that producing? How are you going to convict me of something I can't see anyway? See, I know in my whole Christian life, as I've grown in Christ, I've grown in sensitivity. There was things that I didn't see that needed to change until I grew to a certain place. And all of a sudden I realized, man, that never has to be. Wow, I can be free from, wow, I can. And all of a sudden you progress and you grow. It's what I want to read to you right here. You show me a limit in this. Watch this. And he himself, verse 11 of Ephesians 4, he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Not faith, the faith. There's a the faith, like there's a the way. Faith to get a new job is one thing. Faith to get a promotion is one thing. Faith to be healed is one thing. But when he puts the in front of faith, he's talking about a mindset and a purpose and a perspective we're all supposed to have and totally understand. It's the faith, established in the faith, built up in the faith, obedient to the faith, resisting the devil, standing steadfast in the faith. In other words, holding on to who you are now that he came and why in the midst of all adversity, faith. Are you getting that?
Amen.
Come on, don't we let our identity change through our go-throughs sometimes? Doesn't our physical situation sometimes change us, change how we see ourselves, change our value, change our day? And all of a sudden, we're driven by trouble instead of living in truth. All of a sudden, we're driven by need. Most of the time, our prayer is just inspired by what we're worried about, inspired by what we're worried about. You'd be amazed how your prayer life would change if you just saw in faith and you had covenant with God.
Yeah.
There's things you wouldn't even pray about. You'd just see. You'd be just in agreement. You'd be like, thank you, Lord. Wow. No worry there. I know your hand. Wow. Yeah. You'd be a Psalms 91 person. He's just covering you. A lot of prayer is initiated by concern. I've been around for a little. I've pastored for a while. I've noticed a large percentage of our prayer is inspired by concern and need. Rarely is it faith and covenant, and rarely does it work through love. Yeah? You all right? Come on, just encourage us. We got to grow into this thing. Look for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith. You know how much diversity is in this room? Even in grace, anointing, calling, gifting, there's so much diversity you probably couldn't measure this one room. Preferences, flavors, appetite, desires, some like it fast, slow, loud, quiet. So you know what I mean? There's just so much diversity. But yet we can all have the unity of faith. We can all be here for the same reason. Chris and I, we don't look alike physically. You wouldn't mistake us, but we can both look like him.
Yeah.
We can both walk in love. He might like things that I've never considered. I might do things he has no desire. But you know what? We can both walk in his image. We can both walk in mercy. We can both make peace. We can both walk in the light.
Yeah.
That's what makes us one. That's what makes us an army rising up. That's how the Lord's going to fill the earth with his glory. Sometimes I think we think it's this mysterious outpouring. He's way more personal than that. He has always planned from the beginning on having a people that are made in his image.
Amen.
And it's the body of Christ. When Israel was failing terribly, spiraling and cycling, and Moses is going through wardrobe after wardrobe and throwing dust on his head and going into the tent of meeting and speaking on behalf of the people and then speaking on behalf of God to the people. Who knows the story? Over and over, there was a point in there where God said, look, I'll forgive them. Yes, 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 Moses. Moses, let me tell you something. Moses, as surely as I live, that's God. He starts prophesying. As surely, that's pretty intense qualification. God says, as surely as I live, the whole earth shall be full of my glory. What's he saying? I know this don't look anything like I've planned. I know this don't look anything like I've spoken, but I'm telling you, I'm going to have a people that are set apart. I'm going to have a people that are surrendered. I'm going to have a people filled with my life, my spirit, my nature, that understand, that walk in love like I love, that forgive like I forgive, that show mercy like I show mercy. And the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth, because I got a people coming through my son that are going to live by my spirit, not just attend church, not say they're Christians for their sake, but be surrendered for my namesake.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's what he was saying. See, we're his crowning creation in glory. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is up with this man? The psalmist is like, what is up with man that you would be mindful of him, that you'd visit him, that you'd give him dominion over the works of your hands, that you'd make him your crowning creation in glory?
Yeah.
Ain't that something? The Christ in you is the hope of glory. See, we try to live in a false humility so separate from that. You ought to put that on as scripture. See, glory is the manifestation of God. It's the realization of who he is. Any revealed attribute of God is the glory of God revealed. The Christ in you is the hope of revealing God, making him seen and known. That's why we're the light of the... Who's the light of the world? Well, I thought it was Jesus. It is. And he's in us and we're his body. So that makes you the light of the world. I can show you in scripture, Matthew 5. He says it plain. You are the light of the world. You are.
Amen.
Who? You. So let your light so shine before men. For nobody's lighting a light and then putting it under a bed or a basket. It's on a lampstand for all to see.
Yes.
Come on, that's scripture. So I guess if you were the enemy, you'd just not be bothered if they go to church. Just make sure they don't shine. You'd care less how long they worship. Just make sure they don't shine. You'd care less what ministry badge they wear or how many mission trips they go on. Just make sure that deep in their heart they're offended, they're discouraged, they're self-focused, self-conscious. Just make sure they don't shine. Ain't that something? See, your war is never flesh and blood. The fight you're in, there's a wrestling with powers and principalities, but the fight you're in is faith. The fight you're in is faith. It's not the devil. It's believing God in the face of the devil. He made a table and prepared it before you in the presence of your enemies. Your fight is faith. Your fight is never to stop believing why he's in you and why he came and why his spirit is in you. Yeah? To never, ever grow weary in well-doing. To never draw back, because that's destruction. But move forward, believing to the saving of the soul. Ain't that something? I'm quoting scripture to you in case you don't know it. That was Hebrews 10. I just didn't give you all the addresses, but I actually know where they all are. I've read the book before. It's a really good book. It's the truth. It made me free. So we're not correcting you today. We're encouraging you. We're saying we can have the unity of faith. In the midst of all our diversity and differences, we can all find true unity. I live in PA. Most of you live right here. We're miles and miles apart, but we can both wake up and pursue living and being like him. We can both pursue walking in the light. We can both pursue walking in love. Yeah?
Amen.
Come on. Let's read on a minute here. To the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God. Who's the author of our faith? Jesus. Who finishes our faith? So, of course, it's fitting to put that in right there. Where does it come from? Seeing him. So when you look at him and how he handled the sick, we need to follow that. You say, well, that ain't been my results. Okay, so keep following all the more. Look, I could be 0 for 17. And when that next person, I see him and I'm convicted to pray, who knows that I'm still called to pray for number 18. Now, if I'm keeping stats and I'm analytical, I'm probably 0 for 17. But if I'm just believing God and going after God and I'm just hungry to get a manifestation of what he said and promised and step into something, I just probably see that one. But if I'm 0 for 17, I'm probably in trouble when I pray. If all I am is 0 for 17, I'm probably about 0 for 18. And when you go to pray for them, you don't tell them you're 0 for 17. You don't say, hey, listen, I mean, I've prayed for like 17 other people. Now they all died. But if I could, I'd love to try you yet. No, hey, that's okay. Bless you. I'm just being lighthearted. Come on, you know how we think too much. I was just in my own home church last night. We prayed for the sick last night. Oh my goodness, there were so many people healed. It was so beautiful. I didn't pray for anybody. See, it's not our fault. It's Jesus' fault. It's simple. You can't pray hard enough, loud enough, and anointed enough. But you can believe. Who's ever prayed for the sick here in this room? You prayed for the sick before? Yeah? So watch this. Who realized that you get tempted sometimes when you go to pray for the sick to put more focus on what you pray and how you pray and what you say? And all of a sudden you get self-focused and your prayer becomes the most important thing of the whole thing. Ain't that something how that happens? But that would be works. Then it's your prayer that heals the sick. So now you're trying to pray right and powerful and anointed when be made whole or pain leave or sickness go in Jesus' name. Who knows, 3 seconds is probably plenty when you see something.
Yeah.
But sometimes we're trying to pray the right prayer, powerful. We even emphasize Jesus. Or we put on our prayer voice. We don't even talk that way ever, but we're ready to pray. Father, I just thank you right now. Father, I just come before your throne, Lord God, and I just lift up your holy name. You ain't talked like that since you've been saved, but you're talking like that when you're praying for the sick. See, that's not a good sign that you're anywhere near faith. Is that okay? I'm just saying. Look, if it was our prayer that heals the sick, we should all go to prayer college till we graduate. We're a priesthood of believers. We just believe he loves people. We believe he's really good. And believe everything he accomplished on the cross is enough. That redemption is his major number one plan, and he makes all things new. And we just believe that this twisted up mess came to the earth because of sin, but he took it away. We just believe that he's making it right. We believe because of the forgiveness of sins, there's a healing of disease. Are you with me?
Amen.
Look, not a healing of disease just because they're sick. We're inspired for the healing of disease because there's forgiveness of sins. Because God's judged us in righteousness. He's seen us as if we've always been right. And in that truth, he makes all things right. So you bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not his benefit. He heals my sickness and disease. Why? Because he forgives all my sin. Right?
Amen.
So he forgives all your sin, heals all your disease. Make sure you connect the two. You'll find faith in that. It's actually the reason people get healed on the streets. When Jesus ministered, he didn't shed his blood yet. There was no blood on the mercy seat. He didn't take away sin yet. It was just mercy triumphing over judgment. It was the righteous sign of God, Jesus on the earth, pleading to men be reconciled with God, overlooking their trespasses and offenses. It's 2 Corinthians 5. He wasn't imputing them. He wasn't judging them for their wrong. He was already looking at them through mercy, and Jesus is healing all that came to him. He didn't turn anybody away. If they came to him, they got healed. If they called out, Son of David, have mercy on me, what happened? Then why do we draw other conclusions because our experience has been different? Why don't we just realize that Ephesians 4 is calling us to this place through the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete, your Bible might say perfect, it's a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you think it's possible to grow there? To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ.
Yeah.
If it's in your Bible, it's possible. Don't let anybody or yourself talk you out of it. Don't let anybody say you're overzealous. Oh, well, you need some more understanding. You got to get real, brother, and face the facts. No, that's probably causing a lot of unbelief on the earth, facing the facts. Listen, I prayed for some children in my life that doctors said had to die. And they didn't die. And then I prayed for some children that had to die, and they did die. That doesn't change what I'm going after. And if I didn't believe this way, I'd probably not be praying anymore. Or I wouldn't be seeing some not die. Who would agree that's probably true? Because the people that don't believe this way aren't even praying for the sick, let alone seeing testimonies. Are you with me?
Amen.
He said, well, God heals them if it's his will. So we're just supposed to pray for them all and let the lot fall if it's his will. The people that say that stuff and believe that, they aren't even praying for the sick. They're saying stuff like, well, if it be God's will, he'll heal them anyway. And if it wasn't his will, they wouldn't be sick in the first place. That's a weird theology, people. Can I be rude and bold? That's a weird theology. Please don't believe stuff like that. Things happen sometimes. My brother fell over. My mama was sick. Sometimes stuff just happens in life. Don't always over-spiritualize and try to analyze it. Let's just always have an answer. We're going to put our faith in him. We're going to pray, believe, receive all things. Amen. You know, a few months after my mama died, the same disease that she died of, I was in a service a lady had, and she hadn't walked for 5 years. I watched her walk to her car. If I was a hurting son, if I was just a bruised man, if I was just a perplexed, confounded person because my mama died, I'm in no place to be bold. In fact, my mama died. What do I care about your mama? That's how raw it gets with some people. They just give up on God. Well, my mama died. You didn't save my mom. Why should I care about anybody else? You didn't save my prayed. I don't even want to get my hope up again. Just get hurt and let down. Do you know how self-centered that is? Do you hear how self-centered that is? Do you know why people said over years, don't get your hope up? Who knows the Bible says get your hope sky high? Who knows the Bible says get your hope way up? Who knows the Bible says that hope is the anchor of your soul? That it passes into the veil, through the veil to his presence, hope. And then you grow up hearing, well, if I were you, I wouldn't get my... And the book says the total opposite, but you were told not to get them up. Why? It's a self-preservation sentence. People don't want to see you hurt. People don't want to see you let down. People don't want to see you get all built up and get crushed. But see, a selfless person isn't living in that vulnerability.
That's right.
A selfless person just has their eyes fixed on God and his possibilities. That phrase comes from a self-centered lie. I wouldn't get my hopes up if I were you. Do you know what Romans 5 says? I don't know if you know what it says, but it says you've been justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, having access into this grace in which you now stand in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, access into a grace in which now you stand. And not only that, you glory in your tribulation. What? He's ramping. You got peace with God. Through the Lord, you're going to access into his grace in which you not stand. And not only that, you glory in your tribulation. Why? Because tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope won't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And then we grow up here and don't get your hope up. You think we were trained by a different language than he speaks? Just make sure you don't believe that language ever. Amen?
Amen?
And please don't fight the gospel. Don't let your circumstances be greater than the truth. Don't let the things you've been through, don't find God through the way life's unveiled and unfolded. Find God through Jesus. That's going to be a way clearer God. If you find the Father through Jesus's life and not your life, then you'll be challenged to get your life to line up to who he is. And you'll have faith in that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's things we're accepting as the will of God that aren't anything to do with the will of God because it's not in Jesus's life. That doesn't mean we're condemned by it. My mom wasn't condemned. My mom still shined as a light. My mom never complained. My mom was amazing. She died of a sickness and she was just knew she wasn't a sick person. She was a daughter of God. She ministered. She smiled. She loved. She refused to complain. My dear mother didn't get out of bed for the last 15 years of her life, people. But she didn't know how to be mean. She didn't know how to quit. She was a Christian. She didn't love her own life unto death. So nurses were at her funeral. There were several doctors at her funeral. Guys, that's unheard of. They don't come to funerals. The director of city doctors does not have the schedule to be at a patient's funeral. They die every day. But she was different because she never complained. She always smiled. She was always gentle. She would convict your heart because you'd look at her and she had 1,000 reasons to be everything else in your mind. And all she could do is be sweet because she knew she was a daughter before she was an MS patient. And she was a Christian before she was sick. That's heavy. My mom taught me that firsthand. I got to do her funeral. It was an honor. I had them nurses crying in a couple minutes. I was like, hey, oh my goodness. Hi. What? Hey. Doctor? Doctor. That's what I did. And I said, man. I said, guys, some of the care staff, doctors are here. What an honor. I know why you're here. I know what motivated all of you. You ain't never met anyone like her in your life. And then I got really convicting and I said, let me tell you why, because she was a Christian. And I'm sure you had many Christian patients. But what us Christians get tricked in doing is let our identity revolve around our go-through. Instead of our identity already settled in Christ.
Amen.
So how we're doing and who we are is decided by how things are going instead of who he is in us and why. So complaining is justified in our minds when complaining is totally unscriptural.
Amen.
I can show you two real quick places where a Christian never ever complains. That if you complain, you actually open up your life to the one that devours. You make yourself vulnerable to the one that destroys because you reveal that it's still all about you. And now you have an attack point and you've just given it away. Complaining makes it all about you. I don't care if you sing it's all about him all day in church and sing the loudest in the congregation. As soon as you complain, you reveal that you don't believe what you sing. We don't realize it's that serious. So we think nothing of complaining. Come on. We complain if the right side of our head hurts when we wake up in the morning because it's going to dictate my whole day now, and you don't know my schedule. And God, do you understand my schedule? What I got on my plate? I can't have this today, man. 2 weeks ago, I felt like this. It was the most worst day ever. God, help me. And then you call that prayer. No, it's an out loud, self-focused complaint session that's not getting through the drywall. It's not in any bowls of incense. It's not penetrating the ears of the Lord. Are y'all all right? I'm sorry. Just saying a few things. Why do you talk about all this stuff in a city quake? Because if this stuff doesn't get ironed out in our life, you don't even see the people out there. You don't even see them. Come on. If I'm discouraged, I'm not shining. If I'm frustrated, I'm not shining. If I'm offended, I'm not shining. If I have unresolved conflict on the way to work with my wife from the kitchen and we left in silence, uncomfortable silence, I am not shining. If I have a right to my life, I'm not shining. Something is going to move me the other way. Come on, be real with me. It's why I talk about this stuff. And we need to be consistent and go from faith to faith and glory to glory. We need to walk in the light as he's in the light. Not step in and out of the light, walk in the light. Because yeah. You are the light of the world. You're the best he's got. You're the roster of heaven. He ain't looking for anybody else. He has you. Yeah. And he's just waiting for those that believe. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's 120 and you don't even have air conditioning. Look at you. You don't even know how to be upset. I had a lady at our church come up to me one day. She said, you know, Pastor Dan, I'm not making fun of her. She just talks like this. It's real, real timid and real high kind of. She said, you know, Pastor Dan, she said, my husband, he did this the other day. And she said, I was so mad. And I said, you were? Yeah, I was just so mad. Like she didn't even know how to be mad. What she was trying to say is I didn't agree with him. It was just beautiful. I said, oh, so you were so mad. Yeah. Who knows it's real? 120 degrees, no air. But there's just something bigger. There's something that matters more. All the challenges we face in life. Come on. Why would the scriptures say endure, endure, endure? Why would it say not grow weary in well-doing? Why would it say run the race worthy of pride? Walk in a manner worthy. Why would we have all these admonishments if life was just supposed to go our way? If you're just a Christian for a bed of roses, come on. We're Christian to manifest Christ in the face of it all.
Right.
Yeah? So my mama got that. We never saw the victory called healing, but we saw the victory called Christ.
Amen.
And my mother, I don't even cry about it. I miss my mother. My mother was precious. I didn't even cry when she died. I think some of it was emotional. It was a relief because I watched her suffer so bad as my mama. So I think just knowing, believing that she's with the Lord was a relief to me. I wasn't like, man, I can't believe we didn't get to see her healed. I was just kind of like, wow, but I never felt like I had to cry. I was happy for her. I was happy because of the blood of Jesus and eternal life. And then when I pulled up at her funeral, that was actually the only time I told my wife, I said, you know, this is the only time I felt like I needed to cry since Mama died. And it was when I pulled in to do the funeral at the graveside and there was nowhere to park. They were up the hill, two by two, the whole way around for my mom, who was in bed for the last 15 years of her life and sick for 40 years. They were going to park me way down, and I told them who I was and that I'm the son and that I'm actually going to do the little eulogy thing at the graveside. And they said, oh my goodness, you're speaking. Yes. And they took me out of sight and drove me the whole way up around. And I said to my wife, I started to cry. She said, you okay? I said, I'm just overwhelmed. I said, I thought in my mind I knew who'd be at a funeral. You just figured in your mind who would be there. You know your family and it's mom. And you just figured you know who's there. It was five times what I thought was going to be there. And it was people that when I saw them, I just couldn't even believe the people that I saw. And some people that I wasn't even really, didn't even really know. But at some level, they came up to me at the end and they were all touched and impacted by her life in the midst of what she was in. Now, see, some people's theology say, well, see, God just did that and put that on her so she could reach other people. No, no, no. God didn't put that on her so she could reach all those people. You're always called to reach all those people.
Yeah, that's good.
She just didn't change her mind.
That's right.
She didn't become a product of her go-through. Come on, you're always called to touch those people. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, we just come up with some weird things. Well, God made me sick so I could go to the hospital and minister to that nurse. He's a little bigger than making you sick so you can meet a nurse. I'm just sorry. I'm not being rude. Forgive me, but that's weird. There's no clock anywhere. I have no fear in my life, but somehow it just showed up. What time is it?
My phone died. I can't tell you.
What time is it?
9:15.
Oh, dear Jesus. Okay. Yeah, I'm supposed to be done in a certain ballpark time just because we have a bunch of services tomorrow. We don't have to stay all late. They tell me to try to be done by... Miss Hannah, bless your heart. She writes it to me, probably wings it in faith. And then there's no time. There's no clock. I see none. Am I just not seeing it? There is none. Is that on purpose? Oh, Lord Jesus. Is that like a faith thing? Because my faith is shook right now. I'm the one with the mic. I'm the one that knows I don't know how to stop when I can see a clock. I don't know how to stop when I know the time. How do you stop when you don't? Oh, yeah, I gotta stop. Oh, my goodness. A complete man to the measure of the stature of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, cunning craftiness. See, just tossed, never established. Never established. Just let your heart be established, for the coming of the Lord is near. In other words, believe what you believe and know what you believe, and let your life reveal that.
Yeah.
It's not a confession. It's not just a doctrine. It's an expression. It's a life you live. Your faith is revealed by the life you live. Don't ever forget that.
Amen.
You can believe he heals the sick and still never pray for the sick, because you don't necessarily think about him healing the sick through you. But if you believe he will heal the sick through you, or that he could heal the sick through you, I'll even go this way, that he even might heal the sick through you. Come on, you got to start somewhere.
Amen.
If you believe any of those things, you'll pray for the sick. Yeah?
Yeah.
And the only thing that you got to do, like Tom just said, you know, there's a thin line between actually doing it, and he called it chicken and out. And then Chris leaned over and said, hey, why'd the chicken cross the road? I said, always heard to get to the other side. He said he finally had the boldness to share his faith. What? So that's the new Christian chicken cross the road joke. He finally had the boldness to share his faith. I don't know why I laughed at that. It was so good to me. It was good. So we say be a Christian Nike commercial. Just do it. Because there's no real way to teach around feelings. Self-feeling, self-nervous. If you look long enough and think long enough, you'll talk yourself out of it all the time. I opted to not pray for somebody today on the jetway. I prayed for people on the jetway, but just the situation where we were standing, where they were talking, it was people coming out, people waiting, getting bags. It was just a lot going on. And I was like, oh. And then I had to get my bag. And once you go out the jetway, you can't come back in. It was just, and I thought a little, and before I knew it, it was past. I was like, oh, I think I could have probably handled that different. Just waited a little while, missed a moment. You know what I mean? But if you think too much, you probably talk yourself out of it. The best thing you can do is when you're convicted, you come to a thing like this, you're going to see the sick. You're going to see the sick. When you come to a thing like this, you're going to notice. A friend of mine came to one of these. What was a power in love years ago? She called me crying. It was her first power in love. She said, there are sick people everywhere. I'm overwhelmed. I said, honey, they were always there. You're just seeing them now. That means you just didn't see them before, because you weren't thinking this way, but now you are. I said, don't be overwhelmed. Just step out and touch one. Just sow a seed. Just touch one, and then you'll touch another. And man, you don't have to touch the whole world at once. just touch one and go where you go with it. And she said, okay. But she called me crying, there's sick people everywhere. I thought it was amazing that she actually thought that all of a sudden the sick just sprouted out of the ground. I'm like, what? Come on, we got like in my home church, we had a lot of visitors. I just had the sick stand up and we prayed. There was a lot of people right in our church that weren't feeling well and that had stuff going on in their bodies, right? Look, if you have that going on in your body, I would encourage you to pray for the sick. Don't say, well, I feel like a hypocrite. I can't even get a healing and I'm supposed to pray for the sick. No, the reason you pray for the sick is you're saying, I believe he heals no matter what's going on in my body. He's a healer. And I'm going to prove it by praying for the sick. Like when you're sick, I think the greatest thing you can do is pray for the sick. I went through some witchcraft stuff years ago. I won't go into detail, but for about 10 days, I couldn't even move my leg. It was like a dead hunk of rubber and it was not good in the natural. It didn't look good. I drug it around. I saw 8 people healed in those 10 days of things that they had for years, and they were all Christians, and they were prayed for hundreds of times.
Wow.
There was some component of just humility and faith in the midst of that smashed the thing in their life. Ain't that a... Who's ever worked in an altar ministry? Guy comes up, you pray for him. You don't see change. Next week he comes up. And all of a sudden, I've heard people tell jokes, you know, but they're not really joking. They're like, man, he was coming down there. I was hoping he'd turn left to go over to Bobby and Fred, you know, Bobby, Joe, and Fred. And it's like, because after a while, it tries to get you. Because you've prayed, you believe, here we go, we haven't seen change. No, it's just simple. Faith, pray, let's just believe. Yeah, let's do this tonight. How about if we just, let's just pray for the sick here tonight.
Amen.
Can we just do that? Why don't we just do that? And we'll just do a little jump start. We'll just do it. We'll keep it simple. And it'll empower us to just kind of like live that way. Yeah?
Amen.
Now, when the rubber meets the road, and any speaker will tell you this, when it comes right down to it, you still have to cross that road, that threshold. You still have to make contact and approach them. And we don't teach the how-to on that because we want you to be the best you. And I don't even think it matters if you look nervous to them. Just be real. We don't give you a script because that gets weird. You just, hey. I mean, I've said to people, hey, I'd already seen a whole pile of people healed, but who knows, I'm learning to hear the voice of God. Who knows, that's not a wrong statement. Who knows, none of us have arrived. I don't care how many testimonies you have. And I'll say to somebody, listen, I'm really just learning to hear the voice of God. And I feel like the Lord just showed me. Does that make sense? Is that correct? And if they go, oh my gosh, how do you know? You know, that's a no-brainer. If they go, no. I say, well, see, I'm learning. I'm trying. And here's the deal. And they'll be like, you're trying to hear that? Yeah. I'd rather be wrong and say something and be wrong than have been right and said nothing. So thanks for understanding. But listen, now that we're talking, is there anything we can pray about?
Yeah.
Is there anything going on here? See, it's just a contact point. So being wrong is the last thing on my mind. Loving people is number one.
Amen.
Do you got it?
Yeah.
So come on, we can live this way. But you're the one that has to make contact. And the more nervous you feel, there's only one way to do it. Just step out and realize, wow, that wasn't that bad. Yeah? Are y'all all right?
Amen.
Let's pray for the sick tonight. I think we got time. We can pull this off. We'll just do it quickly. We don't have to take super long. It's a teaching. It's a little thing I do that the Lord's empowered me. And when I say empowered me with teaching and understanding to make it simple to empower us actually to live this way. So we already covered it. Your prayer doesn't heal anybody. It's his finished work. You got that? So it's faith in him that heals the sick. Faith works through love. So watch this. You really have to believe God loves people. No matter where they're living, what they're living, how they're living, you have to believe God loves people. You can't believe, oh, God probably won't heal them because they're into weird stuff. No, that's probably a real reason he's going to come and overwhelm them. Like, if you really start understanding the nature of God, you'll realize the people we thought God would never touch are the people he wants to touch really bad. Like, people say, well, God won't touch them with a 10-foot pole. No, you won't touch them with a 10-foot pole. God's been waiting to touch them through you, but you won't touch them. You follow me? So it's your prayer that's not healing the sick. It's his finished work, and it's your faith that he's good and he loves people and he wants to heal. I want you to keep it that simple tonight. When you pray for the sick, there's a lot of categories of sickness. I wouldn't even need to get into that. I never really think much about that. And honestly, people say, well, wonder if it's affliction. Wonder if it's, if that happens in discernment, Holy Spirit shows me. I never chase devils. If one manifests, that's obvious. If something manifests, and you just deal with it, but be simple and clean. Don't start shouting loud in tongues. It'll probably realize you're afraid of it. Just stay in authority. I hope I did. They know what I'm talking about. I hope you guys are all right. Like sometimes we do what we do because we're intimidated. I rarely address those things in public. I had a lady in the mall just throwing up, and I just slid her a can, and I don't like that. In my heart, I'm like, God, really, please? And like, and yeah, and she just really threw up. And you know, it wasn't good, but it turned out good. But here's the deal. Whether it's a spirit, whether it's just physical, whether it's a broken bone or affliction, it's always the same answer. Jesus is Lord, and he's head of all principality and power. And he's the head over the church. And he gave us authority to go in his name. So Jesus' name is a big deal. So when you pray for the sick, don't get caught up in even what's necessarily wrong with them. Get caught up in who he is and what he wants to do. There's two situations you'll run into. There's people out there you'll see, you'll hear them talking, you'll get talking. You might be at work, and they'll have situations that come and go. They'll have, you'll say, is there anything? Oh, yeah, I got this pain, man. It goes, well, how's it? Where's the level of pain now? Oh, it doesn't hurt right now. Who's ever had that? I'll say, it doesn't hurt right now, but man, tomorrow, I was off today, but when I work, by about midday, it's whew, by the end of the day, I don't even know. Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? That you ever hear that stuff? So they don't have anything now, so you pray for them. And it's the same prayer as if they had a real bad symptom. Don't make that an easier one. That's not like a couple, like, oh, I want all those. I wouldn't. No, because it's the same sincerity. You have to be sincere and you have to have faith. And you believe that thing's never coming back. You know, I hear people talk about migraines. You hear people talk about stuff. You're in airports all the time. You're sitting waiting for your flight. You hear people right behind you talking about, and they always seem to always be talking about their trials and challenges and their physical stuff. Did you ever notice when you're around people, that's what they're talking about? And then you just spin around and say, excuse me, man, I couldn't help but to overhear what you just said. Listen, I want to do something. And I say, this is just me. I say, please don't say no. My heart gets soft, smile. Sometimes I'll put tears in my eyes. And I say, please don't say no. What? I just want to pray for you. You know, the worst that could happen is nothing. I'm not going to make a scene and I'm not going to embarrass you. And I ain't asking because I'm believing for nothing. In fact, why would I ask you this if I already knew nothing would happen? And usually by then they're like, well, okay. And then you just pray for a few seconds. Specific. Father, there's migraines they were talking about. I thank you they'll never come again. In Jesus' name, never again. And Father, I thank you. You use that even to touch their heart and get them to really, really see how real you are and how much you love them. God, never another migraine. In Jesus' name. Now you're getting on a plane. They're leaving. You say, what's the big deal? So did you lead them to the Lord? No, you just sowed a seed into their life. I just heard their felt need, addressed it, believing God's going to intervene. And watch this, that a week's going to go by and no migraine. Now they're 2 weeks. They can't even tell you a six-month time frame where they went 2 weeks without a migraine. Now they're 3 weeks in, and all they can think about is that guy that was smiling with tears in his eyes that prayed for them at the airport. Are you with me?
Amen.
So you sow, somebody might come along and water, but who gives the increase? But if we don't sow, why are we always thinking God's supposed to grow? We're always interceding, sow into your, pray for your city, but sow into your city. We're always interceding. We think intercession is the end. Intercession is just praying over the seeds that have been sown. If we're not sowing, why are we so thinking God's going to grow? Ain't no farmer in the world said, hey, Millie, I don't know why that corn ain't coming up. She says, Sam, you didn't even get on the tractor this year. I didn't even see you plow no ground. And put, well, I'm just believing. I figure God just bring the corn right up out of the field. Sam, you're silly. You gotta sow. You gotta water. God will bring the increase, the seed all by itself. Well, sow while you're sleeping. Let you sow, it'll grow. But you gotta put some seed in the ground. Oh, I just believed in God was gonna grow me some corn. Ain't working. The seed, the power's in the seed.
Yeah.
And when it's sown, the seed by itself grows while you're sleeping. And you wake up and a life's changed and you go, how did you do that? You helped me, you worked with me, you co-labored, you sowed a seed. Somebody over here you didn't even know sprinkled a little water on it and said the right thing at the right time. You don't even realize the strategies of God, but we're available.
Yeah.
And then God brings the increase and we all rejoice together.
Yeah.
Amen? So you'll pray for people that don't know. So let's do this tonight. This will be a real quick one. I'm going to do it in two real quick. The first one's going to be super quick. Don't think it's too quick that it won't be effectual. It'll be really effectual because there's sincere faith wrapped around everything we're doing. Okay? If you have a condition in your body tonight that if you were healed, there'd be no way to know right now because it's not symptomatic. There's nothing you could check. It's internal. It's on the inside. It's in your blood. It would need a test or time to know that it's changed. I need you to stand to your feet real quick. Please participate. Don't, let's not pull teeth tonight. Just jump up. If that's you, jump up and let's be believers. And let's say, you know what? I'm going to receive this tonight. Anybody else? Real quick. Okay. It's just a situation in your body. It's less than wholeness. But if you were healed, there'd be no way to testify. There'd be no way to know because it's not symptomatic. There's nothing to actually look at or check. Wow. Wow, that's a bunch. Okay. We got you? Good. You guys just leaped up. I appreciate that. Most places I go, you know, they just wait and wait and wait. And then you got to get a couple little words. And I'm like, and then it gets weird because they're like, well, if he calls my thing out, I'll stand up. No, you should just be up already. Right? Okay. People sitting around, just jump up. Don't smother them. Just tap them. Hey, can I take your hand? Can I touch your shoulder lightly? I'm going to believe with you. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Just go grab somebody. Just say, hey, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to believe this. Okay, just grab somebody, get somebody real quick. All right, it's just going to do this so quick. It's going to seem way too simple, but you people that stood, you watch and see the fruit you get out of this. And you make sure you email Tom and you say, hey, I was there at CityQuake. I stood up on Friday night or Thursday night and that thing's gone. Okay, you let him know and encourage him and encourage everybody else and all of us that are praying. All right, now watch this. The people that stood up, pay attention. I want you to listen. The people that stood up for prayer, listen, I only want you to do one thing tonight when we pray. There's just one thing I want you to do. Watch this. This is what the Lord told me to tell everywhere I go and everybody to, because this is one thing that we get mixed up on sometimes. It's going to sound so simple, but it's so powerful. Watch. Tonight, this is all I want you to do. Father, I know you love me, or you'd have never sent your son. You'd have never put him on the cross and sent him and put him on the cross if you didn't love me. See, sometimes when you're going through stuff, everything can get blurry. And one of the first things people do is question where God is and where his love is. I'll tell you where his love is. Christ crucified. You find the love of God through a crucified son, period. Are you with me? So tonight, I don't want you gritting your teeth and saying you're trying to receive and all that stuff we do. Here's all I want you to do. Wow. I'm taking heart in this one truth that you love me or you'd have never sent your son. The people that are praying, that's all I want you to believe, that God loves them and it's not your prayer that heals them. It's his finished work. And we're just representing that finished work. So here's all we're going to do right now in sincerity. Watch this. We're not even asking them what's wrong. Watch. Say this with me and pray it over them sincerely. Be whole in Jesus' name. Pray it over them. No more sickness. No more symptoms. Completely gone from your life. Every weakness. Every sickness. Leave in Jesus' name. Father, because you love them. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Awesome. No, it's simple, quick, but not ineffectual, I'm telling you. Sit down real quick. Grab your seats. Okay. So if we just did that first round, what's the second round? Second round is people that would know. Now listen, we're not playing music tonight. I'm going to make the room as dry as I can because it doesn't feel all that wet sometimes in a parking lot or a restaurant or a grocery store. And we're just going to reveal that, listen, we don't always need atmosphere because the atmosphere is the kingdom and it's in you. We don't always need the music right. We don't always need to be feeling it. We need to be believing it. And I'm not against atmosphere, and I've seen God do crazy, beautiful things in atmosphere. So I'm not preaching against atmosphere. I'm just saying you can't carry a synergism worship atmosphere with you, but you can carry a revelation of Christ with you. And you can carry the presence of God, and sometimes the atmosphere that comes with that is pretty unexplainable. But we're not looking for that. Like, if you don't feel like God's right there, who knows he's right there? If you feel a little nervous, who knows Jesus is still right there? Yeah? Okay. So we don't do any music in this. I'm only going to give you guys like a few seconds to pray so nobody can mess up. I'm like, I love you guys so much. I'm going to make it possible that nobody can mess up unless you just don't ever get involved. But you'll get involved because you're at CityQuake. That's why you're here. So here's what I need. And would you want prayer, ma'am? Because, okay, good. There's a lady there in a wheelchair. Let's not miss her. And don't be intimidated by a wheelchair. Listen, we haven't seen everybody we prayed for healed, but let's start praying for people. Like people say, well, I've never seen blind eyes open. I say, how many did you pray for? Because then when you hear the testimony, it doesn't hit you because it wasn't, you weren't even there. People say, I've never seen anybody get out of a wheelchair. So how many are you praying for? Come on. You know, nowadays Christians have to try to document their testimonies and all this stuff. We should just believe because of the Bible. I don't care if somebody's been indecent about it. I don't care if somebody's been, you know, a charlatan. Listen, you should just believe because of the Bible.
Yeah.
Nah. So I want in a minute somebody to make sure they get to her, but everybody that can stand, is there anybody else that would be hard to stand? And okay, so I got a brother on the front. He'd be better off just sitting there and somebody come to him. He's right here in the corner, okay? Anybody else? We'd be better to just stay sitting in your seat and you'd rather have somebody come to where you're at. Right here, second row, corner here. You see it on the end, okay? So everybody else that can stand, you have symptoms, you have something going on in your body. You might have scoliosis, herniated disc. You might have degenerated knees. You might have something going on in your body. You might have a torn shoulder and it's really hard to use your shoulder. I've been in services where people had to dress their spouse because their shoulders were so messed up. They had to put the shirt on of their spouse and stuff like that. So anything like that, stand to your feet. If you have sickness in your body in any way, a condition, and don't think you're claiming your sickness when you stand up. I wish we'd get a million miles away from that. Look, you can ask for prayer without claiming your sickness. James 5 says, is among you sick? Let them ask, right? So what you're saying is there's something in my body less than wholeness that I believe Jesus will heal. Can we get together and agree? Okay. Anybody else need to stand? These are people that if you were healed without exaggeration, if you'd inventory, you'd be able to tell and check, right? Is that true? Okay. Now listen, I don't want any exaggeration in this room tonight. Exaggeration is lying. I'm not here to get results. We're here to equip, empower, train, and learn what real faith is. And who knows, results are awesome. We're not here for numbers. We're here for legitimate truth, healing, and empowerment. Does that make sense? Anybody else need to stand? Stand if we need to stand. You got symptoms in your body. You got something in your body less than wholeness that you can feel it right now. And if it would change, anybody else? So, like if you would run up them steps, you know your knees ain't like they used to be and they hurt. And you're still sitting. Who's sitting? Who's still sitting? And your knees aren't the same. They aren't what they should be. Is that you? Good. I appreciate it. No, I was hearing that. I got four people on that. I got five people on that one. I told you, I got six. I told you I'm a good fisherman. But now watch this. Did we already have plenty of people to pray for? Yeah? So why did I do that? Because this is real. And God wants you standing. Yeah? How you doing back there, man? You good? Here's what we need to do. Put one hand up in the air if you're standing. This isn't like a works thing to get healed. This isn't a one-hand worship of God. This is identification. This is so we don't lose you in a minute. Okay, now watch. The people sitting, you're my prayer team. Okay? Don't be nervous. There's no way to mess up. If you got a little like, oh, man, I really want you on my team. Like, if you were a little nervous, I want you on the roster, because you sure ain't going to be overconfident or self-confident. And you're going to be like, trust in Jesus. Stand to your feet. Go find somebody. One-on-one. Let's try to cover the room. It's really close. It's almost 50-50. One-on-one. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Just go claim somebody. Don't pray yet. Just go say, hey, you're mine. Hey, you're mine. Hey, I'm going to stand with you. Go ahead. Find somebody. I want one-on-one. Just one-on-one, because we need everybody. Just one-on-one. Put your hand down when they claim you. Only leave your hand up if you're waiting for a person. If you have a person, put your hand down. Only leave your hand up if you don't have a person. Do we have some hands? Do we still have any available people that can help? I want every hand on deck. Yeah? You're gonna stand with her? Yeah? Awesome. Yay. I still got a couple people up front. Do we have anybody else that can go around and spread around, or we got everything pretty well? We can figure this out. We'll work it out. I was just looking for availability. I'm really pressing to get everybody involved. And we will work it out. I love that. But I'm just trying to get every available person. Are you coming to stand with somebody?
Yes.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. No. I'm like, thank you. Yay. Anybody else can help me? I got two ladies here. Oh, and I got a guy right here. Okay. Listen, you right here, young man, go right there to the man in the dark shirt. And one of you pray for one first, and then the other one turn around and pray for the other one. Yeah. You don't have anybody standing with you, or do you? Oh, yeah, yeah. Perfect. Split up, guys. That's awesome. Yeah, I promise that Jesus in you both is plenty. That's awesome. That worked out good. Anybody else? Are we covered? Do we get it? Woo! Where did you all come from? Jesus kicked you off a cloud. Get down there. You're a whole lot more better off there. Good. Y'all ready? Now, here's what we're going to do. Take 3 quick seconds and just tell them the brief reason why you stood up and what you're believing for. Give them the 3-second version of what it is you're going through. Just say it's shoulder, it's arthritic pain, degenerate knees, pain in my back. All right. As you find out, yeah, just that should be good. We should know. Come on, guys. We ain't breaking bread now. Come on. You guys are amazing. Y'all got it? Everybody know what they're praying for? No, this is awesome. No, it's very friendly in here. It feels good. I'm just having fun with you. Are y'all ready? Let's look up here. Let's do this. Everybody knows what they're praying for now, right? Okay, the reason I did that's Matthew 17. The Bible says faith will say to the mountain what? And the mountain will... And watch this. And nothing will be impossible for... You would think he'd say God, but he says for... You. Now you show me a limit in that. So what we're going to do is the reason I had them identified. So if they said I have arthritic pain, I have degenerate knees, I have a herniated disc in my back. Watch this. Back, you'll be completely healed. Pain, you leave in Jesus' name. Now, who knows? We can do that in about 5 seconds. Be sincere and believe his love for the person. Come on. Jesus is so excited that we're doing this. I'm telling you. And the fact that you all stood up and believed that he could heal, and the fact that you all ran and grabbed each other, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful picture to the Lord. Who knows that we can say, shoulder, be completely healed in Jesus' name. Knees, be restored. No more pain in Jesus' name. Who knows we can do that in a few seconds, not get self-conscious, not try hard. Oh, hi, oh, right? And just pray and believe and be sincere. Who knows we can live this way? And when you do it here, who knows you can do it anywhere? Who knows you can be in a store? You don't have to make a scene. You don't produce a healing. You believe God. Are you with me? So we're going to pray. I'm going to give you about 5-6 seconds. I'll count it off in my head. I'm going to say, okay, guys, go pray. And then you all pray. I'm not going to pray over top of you. I'm just going to get quiet and let you guys flow. And I'm going to say, okay, begin to wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. That just means in the name of Jesus, bring it to a close. We should have addressed the mountain by now, right? Okay. So the people being prayed for, remember the first group? This is what you're doing. Well, Father, I know you love me. no matter what I've been through, no matter how long it's been going on, no matter how many times I was prayed for. I know you love me or you'd never sent your son. I want you to live in there every day in your lives, everybody. You love me or you'd never sent your son. Ain't that cool? The people praying, you're believing that too. You're going to pray. And then we're going to begin to check our bodies after they say amen. And you're knowing God loves you because he sent his son. Then I want you to legitimately check your body. Not a calisthenic. It's not a some kind of physical exercise. Grace lets you know. So if you, I want you to be like, you know what I mean? It's like you just begin to do something in a manner that would reveal that, wow, there's change. Some of you have lived protected, like, and don't do a certain thing because of pain. You just ease into that thing you've protected and just check it out and watch and see what God's done, okay? So here's what happens when you pray for the sick in your lives, because we're all growing. I see it all the time. I see people healed instantly. I see people somewhat changed. I see people in the streets, they'll go, oh my gosh, it's really better. And then they're trying to convince you. They're like, no, really, it's better. And I'm like, okay, I believe you. And then you see the one that we seem to be afraid of, that nothing changes. Now look, we have to stop changing when nothing changes. Bear with me. A Christian should only ever have one response. He's a believer. Wow, Father, thank you for what you're doing. He's just, a cynical person says, oh, here's the cop-out. No, it's no cop-out. Watch and see what happens in this room. We pray for the sick. People will be instantly healed. The people will be somewhat healed. That's more of a no-brainer for us. Yeah, rah, rah. And then if there's anybody that didn't feel any change, here's what I don't want you to do tonight or ever again, is cut off or sign off. And don't say, here we go again. I didn't want to stand up because I was afraid I wouldn't get healed. How come I'm never healed? This is the fourth time I told myself I'd never get in this position again. And people were just spinning. You'd be amazed what they do. Wonder why I'm not healed. Wonder what I'm doing wrong. Something's got to be blocking my healing. And as soon as they see there's no change, they take on the identity of no change. I've watched it over and over and over in my life. Here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to stay thankful and believe he's the healer, period. And we're going to listen to a couple testimonies. And we're going to thank him that he's the healer. And wow, what you did in her, that was awesome. Wow, God, you're so good. What you're doing to me is amazing. And just keep checking in with your body. Listen to 2-3 testimonies and just check in with your body. But don't sign off tonight or ever again in your life. And you watch what happens. I call it popcorn in a bag. Anybody who's been around me and been in these settings, I call it popcorn in a bag. You ever put popcorn in a microwave and it gets hot and then all of a sudden you hear boom, and then boom, and you know it's getting ready, right? Boom, 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 boom. That's what these services look like. So people will be standing there listening. It'll be a couple testimonies. Some settings, it's more than others. Last night, there were so many people instantly healed. I was like, what? In my home church, it was just like, wow. It actually was like, wow. And not that I was in unbelief. It just surprised me because even me ministering, doing these things, there tends to be a flow and God teaches us and we see things. But I call it popcorn in a bag. So what happens is last weekend, I was in church. And people were listening to testimonies, and all of a sudden you see somebody go, whoa, whoa. And then, and I'd say, what just happened? My body just changed. Whoa, a spouse was crying because their wife couldn't do what they were doing. A son said, when my dad did that, it took my breath away. I've never seen my dad do that. Something he did with his body. The son said, it took my breath away. I've never seen my dad do that. It was just happening while we were standing there believing. Yeah? Y'all ready? Okay, I'm really excited. I know Jesus likes that you're doing this. Okay, look at your person like they're really special. No, how do you do that? I'm just having fun. Y'all remember what you're praying for? Okay, you got 5 seconds. We can be sincere and believe this. Are you ready?
Yes.
Give them the kingdom, your person right now. 5 seconds, give them the kingdom. Okay, start to wind that down. Just wrap that up in a Jesus name when you're ready. Just wrap that up. Thank you, Lord. Wow, you guys are good. Just aggressively good. Thank you, Father. You're good. Yep, wind it up. Wind it up. We can wrap that up. I don't want long prayers. You don't want long prayers on the streets either. People sometimes are being nice to let you pray. Don't do long prayers on the streets. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, he loves us. He sent his son. Check your bodies. Begin to check your bodies all over the room. I need them thoroughly checked. I don't want exaggeration. I don't want snap judgments. I want you to know. Some people just know that they know because it changed. So let me know when you know. I need to know when you know, but check your bodies. Check your bodies. When you know, let us know. I just need you to go, you know for sure? Excellent. That's beautiful. You look excited too. Yeah, do you know, dear? Yeah, you look excited too. Anybody, you know for sure? Absolutely. Okay, good, good, good. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for what you're doing. You know you're healed? Okay, good. We'll find out what that means in a minute. That's awesome. See, things are happening. Things are happening. Check your bodies. I'm not in a rush, and I'm not trying to get results. I want to learn and grow. Amen? I mean, of course we want results, but that's not our goal, isn't to get numbers. Learn and grow. Anybody else? Anybody else? Your body changed, and you know you're healed. Anybody else? You know for sure. Beautiful. Okay, that's a no-brainer. Did that just happen just now? You're just realizing it. Or you just really were checking. Did it change as you were checking? Yeah? Good. No, that's beautiful. Are you healed too?
I got a lot better. When I stood up, a lot of the pain just left.
Okay. Are you really close to being there all the way? Is your person still here? Just have them do another 5 seconds. Thank God for what? Would you say you're 80% better? Would you say you're 80% better?
Yeah, or like
90. Or like 90? Just thank God for that, honey. And just pray 5 more seconds. That'll go completely whole. Anybody else? You know you're healed. You've been checking and now you know you're healed. You know you're healed. You've been checking. And you're like, yeah. Anybody else? Yeah? For sure. Come on. Did that just change? Did it just happen? Or are you just, okay. So it wasn't like when they first prayed and it just, boom, got better and went away just now? Okay, yeah. Boom. Got it. That's awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, let me ask you this quick. Stay with me. I know we're trying to wrap up, but stay with me. This is important. This is why we're here. Watch this. Who was changed somewhat? You know you're better. You just didn't raise your hand or wave your hand because it's not 100%, but you know you're better. Let me see your hands. No, this is pretty cool. This is a lot of movement. This is a lot of stuff. That's really, really good. Look, if your person's still here, just say, listen, tell them what percent you're better and just thank God for that and just pray for a complete and finished work, okay? So here's what I want to do. Can I have, who would share a testimony of what happened tonight that you know you're healed? One of my know you're healed people, you know you're healed. Would you tell me what happened? Is there somebody that would encourage people and let me know? If you know you're healed, you should be able to testify. Can you shout it out?
Yeah, I can too.
Okay. I can even convey it for you.
I have rheumatoid arthritis
in your fingers.
Well, it's all over my body, but
most okay. My hands. Easy to feel. Oh yeah, dramatic. Oh yeah. So no way to not know it's there. Okay, and now what?
I can wiggle my fingers and do what?
You couldn't do that without pain, without like ooh, it would bite you.
Yeah, they cramp up like this.
Okay. You just limp, you feel, how's the rest of your body feel? You prayed? She's going to come back there. Just thank God the whole way through her body, every trace completely gone. But you really feel that in your hands. So between you and us, because we're trying to understand, that hasn't been normal for you.
No, because before.
Beautiful. Okay, yeah, pray for her again. Okay, awesome. Another testimony. Anybody else will share a testimony? You know you're healed. Yes, ma'am.
I had pain in both of my heels.
Both your heels?
Yes.
What do you know what that was from?
I don't know if it was
easy to locate though. It was always there. Like if you'd push on it, you could find it.
Yeah.
Okay. This guy right here? You're telling me Jesus is living in that man. Woo! Yeah.
And the pain just went away.
So you're checking and you can't find it.
Yeah.
Would you have been able to find it pretty easy if you'd looked before prayer?
Yeah.
Okay, and it ain't there now. And you haven't found it at all.
It's gone.
Woohoo! You might as well quit looking for it. Yeah? Thank you, Jesus. Give me another testimony. Check your bodies. If your body's not completely whole, if you hadn't had anything changed, thank God he's a healer. Stay encouraged and check your body one more time. Yeah? Who wants to testify? Who raised their hand? Yeah.
I just started having a lot of pain in different areas in the last couple of months.
Like a 24/7 kind of thing?
It's like maybe throughout the day.
Okay. But if you look for it, you can find it in places.
But like today, my hips are hurting.
Okay. Yeah.
My hip doesn't hurt. My knees don't hurt.
Wow. So you're checking all these things, and it's all good. In the foot? Yeah, just pray about that foot. Just pray with, who is that, your person right there? Yeah. No, but isn't this beautiful? So you know that you know that you know it's different. Yeah. Anybody else? One more. I'll take one more testimony. One more. Yeah, give it to us. Yeah, yeah. Oh, when I mentioned knees, you were one of my people that stood up. We went fishing and caught you. Oh, wow. That's awesome. You feel really good? You've been checking it? So it's healed. That's beautiful. Let's close out with this. In my group right now, do we have anybody here and you would say, you know what? I'm listening to these testimonies. I'm keeping my heart in this good place, believing God loves me, and I'm listening. I just haven't seen anything change in my body. I haven't seen anything change. Like, not somewhat, but just seen nothing change. Okay? Keep your hands up. Is your person still here? Because we ain't giving you another person. Your person's plenty. And here's what I want you to do. Is your person still here? When your person comes, put your hand back down. But I got about 10 of you, right? Let me see. You're a lot of you right here in the front. So I got 1, 2, let me see you again. 1, 2, I want to know where I'm looking. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who else we're praying for right now? Nothing changed yet. 6, 7. Okay, we got at least 7. You got your people? Is your person here? Now listen carefully. Watch this. This is important. Do you have your person? Can somebody come and stand with this man? Thank you. Now this is really important. This 5-second prayer thing. Watch this. Don't change your prayer. Just pray the same thing you believed the first time. Don't get like changing your prayer. I mean, we don't realize how this stuff happens. Like it can be works. You're trying to pray the right thing. You're believing the right thing. So you're believing God loves your person. The person being prayed for believes God loves them. You're not thinking deep on this. You're privileged to receive. So watch this. Same 5-second prayer. Speak to that situation and let's see what happens and changes this time. You ready to go? 5 more seconds. Give me 5 more seconds. We're going to check you all out and then we're going to get out of here. Go ahead. In Jesus' name. Pray for your person. 5 more seconds. Thank you, Father. Yep. Don't be under no pressure. You can't produce a thing. You're believing a thing. In Jesus' name. That's good. I gave you a lot of time. Y'all wrapping that up. Wrap that up. My 7 or 8 people. Yeah, my 7 or 8 people. Check your bodies right now. Just check your bodies. 7 or 8 people. Just check your bodies. Check them. Jesus' name. And tell me if anything changed that time. I'm only talking to a group of people, a certain group of people. Did anything change in my last group of people? Is there anyone saying, you got some change coming? Yeah? How much? It's noticeable. Is it a little under 50? About 50? Oh, it's more than 50. And it hadn't changed at all up until right now. Guys, that's exciting. So this lady over here said she's more than 50% better and she hadn't changed at all up until that last 5-second prayer. Anybody else checking your bodies? Anybody else? Did it change? About 30%. Guys, what's this teaching us? If you draw conclusions, if you believe through results, we're going to let go and be deceived. If we just keep on believing and never let go, that's how things change. So you didn't change at all until that last 5-second time of prayer. Anybody else change? Anybody in my last group? Anybody? I know there's a lot going on. I'm just trying to. Okay. So what'd y'all learn tonight? Did we learn something? We can believe God. We can be simple. We can keep it short and sweet and be sincere. Teach people that God loves them. Is that true? Okay, I know I'm probably past my time now and we don't have a clock, but hey, let's do this quick. Not for any weird sake, but just for encouragement sake. If you were healed in some way tonight, whether all the way or some way, do this all at the same time. All at the same time. Isn't that cool? Come on, it just shows what's possible when we believe Him. And we can do this anywhere we go and just believe God. So when I'm on the street and somebody doesn't get healed, that's what we're afraid of. Watch what I tell them. Listen, I'm so honored I got a chance to pray for you. I'm just believing God is bringing change. You check in on your body, and when you see that's different, you'll know exactly why. And then I leave thanking God for the honor that I got to pray with them. I'm not, man, why didn't they get healed? Or what am I doing wrong? Man, thank you for the honor that I got to pray with them. Let's lift our hands to heaven real quick. We're closing. Father, we just thank you. We love you. We're just lifting our hands to you, to honor you, to yield to you, to surrender to you. You alone are God, and we just worship you and thank you for who you are. Thanks for empowering us. Thanks for teaching us, training us. Let our hearts always be encouraged, and let us grow up into you in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.